Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
And so we're we got another cut. All right, we're cutting off the cookie, they call it, off the top of the main stump, which is still stuck in this guy's yard at 48th and Washington. All right, we're lowering down. We're at an angle. Got to readjust here a little bit. Got a lot of sounds going on right now, too. All right, still trying to line this thing up. Any second.
I find myself holding my breath.
Yes.
Please don't drop it.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Vince, the seasons are a-changing. You know what that means. It's an annual tradition around these parts. Rocking around the Christmas tree. Yes, today's the day. The city harvests its Christmas tree. Again, one of those annual stories you have to hear about all morning long on whatever random news station.
That's a lot of Christmas tree news today.
Yeah, you're right. So we have this. So this is in the Washington Heights neighborhood on Washington Boulevard. They'll be harvesting this 64-foot massive Colorado blue spruce. They'll do that here at 6:30. All right. This is the 111th year that we've done this. So we are the longest running official tree here in Milwaukee, other than New York City. So we've been doing it longer than everyone else. So there's that. Also, Cathedral Square is transforming its Community Spirit Park. They got their Holiday Lights Festival kicking off today, where some kids from the local schools are going to be decorating some of those trees today.
Those trees are already in place,
yeah,
right?
They're in
place.
Bring
the kids in to decorate. There are dozens of trees all over.
And that'll happen over a period of time. And then, of course, there's that big celebration later on in December. And then there's the world's tallest glass tree.
Glass tree, you said.
Yeah, this one's coming back to Yerkes Observatory. That's near Lake Geneva in Williams Bay, Walworth County. So Yerkes is that super cool astronomy building. It's got the largest refracting telescope in it. It's like 60 feet long, 82 tons, and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, they're going to put up this tree, 36-foot glass tree there at Yerkes for the winter holiday season as well.
They actually spin the glass, like they... Is that the term you use for making glass?
They have like spin it? Yeah, like hot glass, yeah. Like a wand almost. And as it spins, you can we've seen it where the people can join in on that with the artist who's actually creating this giant tree.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But how, in terms of a destination, you've gone there now, you've seen the tree.
I have. Yeah, then what?
Exactly. And then what?
So here we go. Whether you like it or not, here come the trees.
The rest of everything else is next. So as soon as you fade it out, we'll proceed with the program.
Okay. We'll see how long this goes.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
The quest for the Emirates Cup begins tonight.
What is your quest?
To seek the Holy Grail.
Yes, the Holy Grail. What is the Emirates Cup? This is the newly named NBA in-season tournament where a champion will be crowned the winner of the Emirates Cup.
Yeah. The Holy Grail, Dr. Jones.
Yes, Bucks Open group play tonight will feature a new playoff-exclusive floor. You like this floor?
I think it's kind of neat. I like it better than last year's. So I think they've upped the game a little bit.
Bucks are in Group B, Toronto, Indiana, Miami, and Detroit. Games will be Tuesdays and Fridays through December 3rd. Teams emerge from group play. They move on in the in-season tournament. Bucks and Raptors get it started tonight. It's a 7 p.m. tip right here on your home of the Bucks, 620 WTMJ. The quest for the Emirates Cup.
Choose wisely, for as the true grail will bring you life, the false grail will take it from you.
At Fiserv Forum.
Coming the other way, Marquette in the corner. Stevie Mitchell, good.
Where are you going?
Marquette is on a 13-0 run, and
Yeah, here we go. It wasn't the prettiest of games, but number 15 Marquette did enough to beat a pesky Central Michigan team 70-62. They did enjoy a 21-0 run there, you heard there from Homer. But Central Michigan always kind of hanging around, actually. Offense struggled at times, hitting just 10 of 36 three-pointers. During the postgame show on 94.5 ESPN, Tony Smith asked Shaka Smart, how do you keep the guys from feeling down when they keep missing shots?
How do you get away from that?
Grow up. You grow up.
Yeah, that's what you do. You grow up, says the coach. He says, yeah, man, they've had wiser players before, more experience.
We lost, you know, two of the most adult basketball players I've ever been around, Tyler and Oso. And there's no question, you know, we continue to have some growing to do.
Yeah, coach referring to Tyler Kolick and Oso Iguodaro there. Ugly W, but still a W. Defense looked good. Up next, Maryland on Friday. Dolphins beat the Rams 23-15 on Monday Night Football, and the Packers get back to work this week for a matchup with the hapless Bears. Vince, things are not going well in the Windy City. They've lost three in a row. They haven't scored a touchdown in 2 weeks. Head coach Matt Eberflus was on ESPN 1000. That's one of our sister stations there in Chicago. His cell phone kept cutting out during the interview. Listen to what host David Kaplan finally said about it.
We got to pull those experiences.
Coach? Coach, your cell phone's as bad as the offense right now.
Bing, here we go. Packers-Bears this weekend.
Badgers coming off their bye week as well, getting set to welcome in another ranked opponent for a primetime game at Camp Randall. Number one team in the land, Oregon on Saturday.
Come on.
Come on.
You don't know
number
it's going to be a
number one in the
race.
Land.
Come on.
Ugly early, perhaps, on national TV. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell on list of things to improve upon.
You know, we got to stop the run better. We've got to, you know, be better on first down, as we've talked about. There's things we have to handle better, whether it's, you know, environments. And then really the ability to make some adjustments and come out the second half.
I heard at least four in there, and the list wasn't done.
All of the things.
All of the things. You know what we got to do? Be better at football. I don't know, Coach. Badgers and number one ranked Oregon, 6:30 Saturday night in Madison. The status of legal abortion in Wisconsin is in the hands of the state Supreme Court. We've known this was coming for some time. Arguments before the high court this week. Lawsuits seeking to overturn Wisconsin's original abortion ban that essentially outlaws abortion but for extreme cases to protect the life of the mother. Point of order before we proceed.
Point of order.
Yes. I bet a lot of folks think, you've heard me say this before, I bet a lot of people think that the U.S. Supreme Court banned abortion when it overturned Roe versus Wade. Mm. They think that's what happened, right? Which is not how the law works.
Right.
That decision, also called the Dobbs decision, overturned federal protections for abortion access. The Supreme Court doesn't write the law. So in states where abortion is legal in whatever form, it is still legal. And that decision had no bearing on that. Now, some states, once you had Roe v. Wade overturned, went and enacted more strict abortion laws or more limitations on access. But basically, and you've heard President-elect Trump talk about this on the campaign trail, it put it back in the hands of the states. So that's what overturning Roe v. Wade did.
Point of order.
Another point of order. Right now, abortion is as legal in Wisconsin as it was prior to overturning Roe versus Wade. What about the 1849 law? Okay. The argument before the high court right now is essentially, what timeline are we on? And I think this is so fascinating. Did overturning Roe versus Wade put the state's original abortion law back into effect? Or are we status quo, where we allow abortion with various limitations, which is in Wisconsin, our law is viability of the fetus in the neighborhood of 20 weeks. There's some debate over mm-hmm. that, various other restrictions. But where are we right now? For those who wish to reimplement the much stricter original law, that effort was blocked by a Dane County judge nearly a year ago. So for now, where we are right now, Wisconsin is status quo. Abortion is as legal as it was prior to overturning Roe versus Wade. Now, because of that original debate over 1849 law, I know access to abortion is not where it was prior to Roe v. Wade
sure.
being overturned
right.
because some clinics closed
yep.
and
yep.
it is harder for women to access that service. But from a legal standpoint, we're where we were before the overturning Roe v. Wade or the Dobbs case.
Mm-hmm.
It's now essentially, though, the question that's before the state Supreme Court, whether that remains the case. So if you're trying to figure out which way the high court will rule, obviously you have a 4-3 now liberal majority on the court. And barring the unforeseen, the state Supreme Court is expected to eventually throw out that 1849 law. Oral arguments before the court include the justices asking questions of lawyers on both sides, and observers then attempt to read the tea leaves. So if you need any indication as how the liberal majority is going with this, here's just one question that was posed by Justice Rebecca Dallet during proceedings on Monday.
So in 1849, we're talking about a time when the only people that had rights were white men, correct? With property. White men who owned property. Sorry. Is that right?
Okay. So can you see kind of which way the liberal majority is leaning on this? So a
as
lot of
expected,
focus, right. A lot of focus on what was America like in 1849 when that law was put on the books and whatever. Here's the thing. A lot of laws were passed a long time ago when things were different in America, and they're still on the books, and no one goes back and says, well, this was passed a long time ago, so we need to rewrite all of this stuff. The more sound legal argument seems to me to be coming from Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call. He is taking the outcome-based judgment sort of out of it. So people who argue against liberal activism or conservative activism on any court say, your job is to interpret the law as it is, not to choose the outcome you want and then bend your arguments around
that. Right, right.
And so what Call is doing is he's simply arguing, look, why did we assume since Roe was overturned that we went back to 1849? Wisconsin has passed many abortion laws since then. And we're not there. Instead of, we're not back in 1849. We're right where
just to
we
where
always
were
right.
is what his thought is. Okay.
Yes, he's suggesting laws passed okay. more recently take precedent and essentially stand as the law of the land today. So that's the argument that I think justices will focus on if they want this outcome to not be further challenged.
And that's the expectation when a decision is made, what, weeks from now?
Either way, right. And we actually don't know when that ruling is going to come down. Here's why it matters in the short term is, if you don't like political ads, I got bad news for you. We got a state Supreme Court race coming this spring. So you get a little respite here. And maybe even before the holidays already, some things will start picking up on that. An opportunity for conservatives to take back the seat that they lost. What was that? Almost 2 years ago now.
For Protasiewicz?
Right. Yes. That race was, what, 23, early 23?
Sounds right.
So that opportunity will be there for conservatives looking to flip the majority back. But in the meantime, this is before the high court and justices will eventually issue their ruling. From the WTMJ Breaking News Center, breaking news indeed. They are harvesting the city of Milwaukee's 111th annual Christmas tree. WTMJ's Adam Roberts live at about 48th and Washington Boulevard on the city's west side. Chainsaw going, Adam?
Just a couple seconds ago, yeah, Vince, they started cutting this thing. It's a 64-foot tall blue spruce from Colorado. Now, what's interesting about this tree, you remember last year we were on the northwest side? We were flush with the ground on that cut. We got a DPW crew member airborne in the tree. They're going to have to cut this thing about 15, 18 feet off the ground. Because if you've seen the tree on Channel 4 or any of the news networks, it's pretty bare, about 18 feet down. So they got to cut this thing about 18 feet up. They got a crane attached to the top, then they're going to move it diagonally onto the loading dock and head it out towards downtown in Deer District, where it will be lit up on December 5th. So work just starting a couple of minutes ago. Mayor Cavalier Johnson just rolled up about 5 minutes ago or so. So we are in cut mode, a little stalled right now. Looks like they're trying to plan the path for this thing because it's right over someone's basically patio. It looks like they're having to organize, okay, where are we going to lift this thing and get it so we don't crush the patio or graze the top of a small tree that's on the corner here. So we're in standby to see how this tree will be transported. We'll let you know what goes on in about 10 minutes when I check back in.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Adam. Where is Ryan Borgwart? Remember this story? This happened in August. Father of three reported missing after kayaking in Green Lake back in August. 50-some years old guy disappeared. Well, now it appears they believe he faked his own death.
The 54-year-old was first reported missing August 12th when he didn't come home after kayaking. Police finding a capsized kayak and Borgard's car parked nearby. Fishermen finding his fishing pole and tackle box with his wallet, keys, and license inside.
That's ABC's Ava Pilgrim. They think now that he obtained another passport and then cleared hard drives, his browser history, and then changed his banking information on the day of his disappearance. So he basically just disappeared. Took out a $375,000 life insurance policy, bought an airline gift card, they say. And because of that, the sheriff says, yeah, we think he just took off and is now living in Europe somewhere. Like, just didn't want to be here by his family anymore.
A stunning discovery in the search for a missing Wisconsin husband and father of three. Investigators think Ryan Borgard didn't drown, but instead say he faked his own death to run off to Europe with a woman he met online.
Oh, of course. Yeah, met some lady online. Wonder if it's even a real person or not. Who knows? Sheriff's office calling for him to come home to his family. He'd likely have to pay all the restitution for all the hours spent trying to rescue this guy and look for this guy.
A lot of folks get divorced.
Boy, it probably would have been easier just to do that.
Just, right, if you're willing to go to this extent. Obviously, there's more at play there. 6:39 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Dangling above the street as we speak is a giant blue spruce just plucked off of its trunk on Milwaukee's West Side. Let's go live to WTMJ's Adam Roberts with this literally breaking news, Adam.
Yeah, quite literally. It has been broke from its main stump. Yeah, you just mentioned it. We were airborne a couple minutes ago. Now they're loading it onto the back of the DPW truck. They had to move the truck a little bit, got to readjust, make sure they get this thing just right. And so we got another cut. All right, we're cutting off the cookie, they call it, off the top of the main stump, which is still stuck in this guy's yard at 48th and Washington. All right, we're lowering down. We're at an angle. Got to readjust here a little bit. Got a lot of sounds going on right now, too. All right, still trying to line this thing up. Any second.
I myself holding my breath.
Yes.
Please don't drop it.
Well, because you got, is it one or two cranes, Adam, that... You know,
we got one crane holding the top of the tree, okay. And then we got a couple of DPW workers at the base that basically are holding onto a rope at the trunk of the tree. So it's basically a one-man, one-crane operation right now.
That is super skilled because that tree was up against a house. You heard Adam say earlier it was over like a patio and some other stuff, and you're in the middle of this neighborhood.
It's pretty surreal when you see a tree just kind of floating like a ghost over the intersection at 48th and Washington. And now we're in a bit of a pause right now. This thing is basically at a 45-degree angle on the holding block on one end of the trailer. I think they want to make sure this thing is pretty long. It's 64 feet tall, and they got to transport this thing through city streets to Deer District. So they want to make sure they get this thing lined up exactly right.
They're going to take it to Deer District via Valit Street. So the mayor was there. Did he talk about the budget? what was that report?
You know, funny enough,
like?
That nor the MPS situation came up in our press conference with the mayor this morning. You can play probably the bingo card. Oh, magical moment. Tree looks great. Start of the season. Hey, we're going to Cheer District. And that's pretty much what we got.
Adam Roberts live for us on Milwaukee's West Side as the city Christmas tree now dangles at a 45-degree angle above its trailer. That thing's going to hang off the back a little bit,
A little bit, I'd say, yes.
You need some ratchet straps on that boy. That ain't going nowhere. 6:45 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
What is the Emirates Cup? The Bucks hope to hoist it, they do, this season. Yes, the Holy Grail.
The parade on Wisconsin Avenue at the Cup, it'll be great.
The newly named in-season tournament for the NBA. You even remember who won last year?
The Lakers.
You did remember.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't have told you if my life depended on
it. The Bucks were almost in that game. They lost to the Pistons to go to the championship.
Yeah, it seemed like a big deal at the time. I don't know.
Fun.
Whatever. The quest for the Emirates Cup begins tonight. Yes, the Holy Grail. Bucks will have a new floor to debut. It's mostly blue. It will be used for these group play games.
Yeah.
Bucks are in B group, Toronto, Indiana, Miami, and Detroit. Games will be Tuesdays and Fridays through December 3rd. And then teams emerge from their groups, and then there are some at-large teams as well.
And then that's when the elimination process begins.
Bucks and Raptors tonight, 7 p.m. tip right here on your home of the Bucks, 620 WTMJ.
Also at Fiserv Forum.
They're not going to foul them. They'll let it run out. There's the buzzer. It's over. Marquette 70. Central Michigan 62. Yeah,
Homer with the call there. Offense wasn't the best for the Golden Eagles, but credit the Marquette defense as they hang on to beat Central Michigan.
Guys did a terrific job getting their hands on the ball. I thought that was one of the things that we did well.
It wasn't a lie. That was the one thing. Coach Shaka Smart talking to Homer and Tony after the game on 94.5 ESPN. So the Golden Eagles had 66 deflections, which is the most in a game under Smart's tenure there for the defense. So defense looked good. The offense struggled a bit. They were 10 for 36 from three-point range, shooting less than 30%. It's been a rough start to the season for that, but they'll get that going. Up next, Maryland on Friday.
When this is the head coach of your team, sign things might not be going well.
We need to look in the mirror and make sure that we can, you know, address ourselves and have a self-check. Of things that happen, you know.
Ah, yeah, the self-check, the look in the mirror. You never want to hear your head coach say it's time to look in the mirror.
Because right? It's never to flex and, like, smile. And
only bad things have preceded that, right? If the coach of your team is giving that news conference, that's not a good sign. Who is that? That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. And it gets tougher for Wisconsin football this weekend. Number one team in the land, Oregon, comes to town.
Now, you don't know that. That's why they play the game.
I fell for it last time. I'm like, Penn State, I don't know, I feel good.
USC.
I don't know if we put some things together. Opportunity to get boat raced again on national television. The Ducks and the Badgers, 6:30 kick Saturday night in Madison.
Oh, stop it. Monday Night Football, the Dolphins beat the Rams.
The piece is called "There's a Lot to Unpack with These 2-8 Bucks, So Let's Start with the Basics." It's up on JS Online right now, written by two-time Sports Writer of the Year and friend of the program, Lori Nickel, who's on with us this morning. Morning, Lori.
Good morning.
Okay, well, so let's unpack. Since we last talked, it's gotten worse, not better, as the Bucks open this group stage of the NBA in-season playoffs tonight against the Raptors at Fiserv Forum.
Yeah, which nobody cares about.
Good for you. I really don't. I did find myself a little interested last year. I don't know that I am this year.
Well, I just learned the name of the trophy thanks to your show.
Yes.
So that's great.
The Holy Grail. The Emirates Cup.
So that column that I wrote, that was like just the easy, basic thing that was obvious to me. The more complicated problems that I'm looking at reporting on for the Bucks are they're 28th in the league in assists. They only average 21 a game, and that alone isn't necessarily an indicator, but the fact that they are still struggling with the Giannis and Dame combination here, in that, you know, Damian Lillard is a true point guard, wants to set up an offense, plays that position, and Giannis wants to play positionless basketball, get the ball off the backboard and go kind of a thing. That's something that they seem to still be working on, which is kind of an issue. And I just also, they're an aging team. Time has caught up with them a little bit. And this is my opinion. Nobody's told me this yet, but where's the passing? Like, the best way to beat a defense is not dribbling and working around. It's the pass. The pass is quicker. The pass is more of a backbreaker. So I want to look at what's going on. And what's really sad is the Bucks know that they're not passing well. They know that they're not distributing the ball well. It's kind of like me with dieting. I know I shouldn't have Doritos and Coke with lunch, and yet I'm still doing it. And why am I not losing weight? That's probably why.
Right.
So
can't
why
figure
are
it
they
out, right?
Can't figure it out. And then there's so many other issues. When Giannis Antetokounmpo calls out his team and says they need to be competitive, that's a major red flag. And then I'm also personally just watching Giannis. We know his backstory. We know he's a tough guy. He's come up from his childhood and all the work that he did to turn the Bucks around and to turn himself into a two-time MVP and a champion. what he's never experienced before is this, that when you have the resume that he has and all the expectations and all the eyeballs on you to go through the coaching changes, the struggles, the bad basketball and the losing record, the tough time in the playoffs, that's a new challenge for him. And that can be another growth experience, but you know, how he handles that and how the rest of the team handles that, I'm watching that.
Boy, Lori, I wonder, you know, it's early yet, I know, but you wonder too, like, boy, will more trades happen before the quote-unquote trade deadline, you know what I mean? Like, is Damian going to be here at the end of the season?
Well, I wonder all those things too, but I want to hold back on that a little bit. November is the time where the Bucks have, I think, 10 total home games in the month of November. So they have had a tough schedule. Let's see how they do. Let's see if they can maybe work some things out. What's interesting, though, is they need practices. I mean, and there's no time to practice in the NBA. And when I showed up to practice yesterday for the Bucks practice, they were like, we canceled it. It's individual today. And I'm like, okay, I get that. Like, guys need to rest. But the thing is, they need to take advantage of the fact that they're home and that the time that they have, of course, they need to read their bodies and all that and do what's best. But let's see how things go in November 1st. I would not, if you're a fan, I wouldn't give up on this team at all. I wouldn't put anything past them. But in terms of talent evaluation and do they have enough, let's see how this month goes first.
Also, Lori, we should tease you. We notice you're wearing your Indiana sweatshirt. So, yes, they're 10-0 for the first time since Indiana's ever been a state, I think. Congratulations.
Beat Michigan. So I had to, I
can get behind that. Yeah. Absolutely.
There you go. I can't name one player on my team. I'm not even sure if the coach is the same coach, but go Hoosiers.
Well done. I think that sounds like a lot of fans these days.
6:58 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Thanks, Lori.
Thank you. Take care.